Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and today I'll be joined by David Warden, co-author of a book called Miracle in Motion. David wrote the book with his friend, Father Antonio T.J. Martinez, who unfortunately died of cancer at age 44. But Father T.J. helped found the Cristo Rey Jesuit High School in Houston, Texas, giving students from disadvantaged backgrounds the vision that they could become successful and live lives of purpose. David and I will talk about Father T.J.'s legacy today, so stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi. Father Antonio T.J. Martinez had accomplished a great deal by the age of 44, most notably founding Cristo Rey Jesuit High School in Houston, Texas. The school gave young people from the barrio the chance to get a solid education and build a foundation for a bright future. Father T.J. envisioned continuing this mission for many years, but in 2014 he was told he had terminal stomach cancer and only a few months to live. Before his death, he set out to write a book full of encouraging life lessons for his students and for readers in general. His good friend David Warden joined him in that task and completed the book after Father T.J. passed away. Now that book has finally been published, and it's called Miracle in Motion, Living a Purposeful Life. To tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, David Warden. David, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Tony. I appreciate it.
Now, before we talk specifically about the book and your relationship with Father T.J., I want to know, how did you get to know him to the point that he trusted you to co-author this book with him?
Well, I knew him over a course of a couple of years. I met him at a fundraiser for his school. Mm-hmm. And when I saw the priest walk in, I tried to duck him because I knew what he was going to do. but it didn't work. No, he said, "What are you drinking?" And it was his drink. And he said, "I'm going to get one and I'll be back."
Well, how did you get to know him slowly over that period of time, just at the party? And how did you move from ducking him to really taking to him?
Well, I was really intrigued with the kind of school he started here, which is part of the Cristo Rey Network, mm-hmm. where the kids, you know, have to be more or less at the poverty level even to get in, but they also have to be smart and motivated, and so they get a complete first-rate Jesuit education in high school, mm-hmm. With the intention of going to college.
Right.
And where I thought I could help and where he thought I could help was in helping to line up the job opportunities,
okay.
You know, getting corporations and law firms engaged with the idea that they're going to have one of these kids or three or four of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the corporations and law firms pay the money to the school. And so in that way, the kids help pay for a good part, you know, over 60% of their tuition and costs and everything in supporting the school.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got intrigued in doing that. And then one thing led to another. He got me converted into the faith.
Well, tell me a little bit of that story then. How did he convert? I mean, were you raised Catholic or were you not Catholic at all?
I wasn't raised Catholic at all, mm-hmm. but I was intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I talked to him, the more I saw room for somebody who approached the mystery of life, and he called it the mystery of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
So that we don't need to know how it all is, but we need to know there's a mystery out there.
Hmm.
And that to me is intriguing because if there wasn't a mystery, it would be boring how the universe works.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, one thing led to another, and that became an obvious thing. And I and many, many others did much more work on the school than I did, but I was honored to help them. And the one thing we saw early on was that these kids that come from the poor neighborhoods, once you get them out of high school in a very comfortable environment, you throw them into college with mm-hmm. a scholarship, to be sure, but not much pocket money. Mm-hmm. And in a situation where they're really not like the other kids. And a lot of them tend to drop out because mm-hmm. they feel isolated. And so he was on a war path to patch up that problem. And the Crystal Ray Network in that area is doing quite well, mm-hmm. you know, better than a lot of other schools that attempt the same thing. But still, if you lose one, it's a tragedy.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, I'm talking to David Warden. He is co-author of the book Miracle in Motion, Living a Purposeful Life, written with Father Antonio T.J. Martinez, Jr. And I want to just touch on that subtitle, Living a Purposeful Life, because you just mentioned that a lot of these kids come from poor backgrounds. So I'm curious, do they even have it in their minds that they can live a purposeful life? Or is that one of the things they got from Cristo Rey and from Father T.J., this sense of purpose in their lives?
Well, I can't answer for all of the kids. I can say for sure mm-hmm. that the doors that are open for them and the vistas they see through going to Cristo Rey Jesuit and the opportunities that are given to them by getting into college is a life they didn't envision. Mm-hmm. We're in Houston here, and the Cristo Rey School is on the east side of town in one of the poor areas, okay? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
a lot of those kids that came into school had never been 3 or 4 miles to downtown. Mm. And once they got into school, suddenly some of them found that they were in their uniforms, all cleaned up and prepared, and going downtown to work. So it's pretty powerful when they see those opportunities presented to them.
Mm-hmm. So that opportunity to work at a young age, that really instilled something in them that they didn't have before?
I'm not sure that it's that they didn't have it. Mm-hmm. They just didn't have the opportunities presented to them.
Okay.
A lot of these kids are the kind of kids that if they're left in the school systems in their neighborhood, they're the ones that get beat up because they want to learn. So the idea is not the Cristo Rey Jesuit concept is not to save everybody. Mm-hmm. They're focused on this particular, geographic or demographic, and leave it to others to save the rest.
Right.
It's a great mission, but living a purposeful life has a broader meaning because I like to say that TJ, Father TJ, kind of tricks everybody he touches mm-hmm. into leading a better life.
Yeah.
And that includes the kids that come to the school all the way up to the CEOs of the corporations that end up offering the jobs. We all end up getting our worldview broadened and end up living better lives because of him.
Sure. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to David Warden. We're discussing the book Miracle in Motion, Living a Purposeful Life, which he wrote with his friend, Father Antonio T.J. Martinez, Jr. And, he sounds like, Father T.J. sounds like he was not just a charismatic man, but a person of sincerity and substance and intelligence. And I'm wondering, do you have a sense of how he was formed in that way? What was it from his family? Was it from his faith? How did he come to be this great leader that he ultimately was?
Well, that's what part of the book is about. And you follow his life and the way the book is written to his students. Mm-hmm. As kind of a guidebook, since he won't be around to mentor them. He wrote it knowing he was going to die mm-hmm. within 4 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to be around to mentor these students as they progressed in life. And so he does it in a way to show how he came up from a modest background with good parents, but a family that ended up being in a divorce situation, mm-hmm. Like some of these kids find themselves, and works through those issues as a kid would, and making several false starts on what he wants to do in life. Mm-hmm. For instance, he graduated from the University of Texas Law School, mm-hmm. and as soon as he passed the Texas bar, joined the Jesuits. I don't recommend it for every lawyer, but it worked for
And yet his brother was a lawyer too, right?
Yeah, his brother Trey is a lawyer, and his dad is a lawyer and also the mayor of Brownsville, Texas.
Okay.
And he's trying to tell these kids you can make mistakes and make false moves and be in uncomfortable positions, but still, you know, be yourself and keep your eye on the goal.
Yeah.
And that's the message he wanted to leave him with. And it's, you know, you can't imagine how I can't imagine how hard it is for these kids, for instance, to get a full scholarship to a place like Rice University, which is a top private school. And all of a sudden you're with, you know, 1,000 kids that aren't like you.
Yeah.
And didn't come from where you did. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to be around for that. And the book is kind of the next best thing he could do.
Yeah. Well, talk a little bit about that, because he was very young, age 44, I believe, when he got the diagnosis of stage 4 stomach cancer, which ultimately killed him. Even as a man of faith, that has got to be devastating. So how did he handle that news?
I think probably like most of us would have handled it, except he recovered a lot quicker. He said, this is what I've been told, but I'm going to go get a second, you know, opinion. Mm-hmm. And the second opinion was about as good as the first one. And then he said, well, I'm going to beat it.
Yeah.
Did all the chemotherapy. And after a few months of that, which made him totally debilitated, the chemotherapy, and didn't do any good. We were sitting around one evening, and he said, what do you think? I mean, I would rather live a shorter life and feel better and get some things done than keep fighting this thing. Maybe I'm fighting God's will.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
And that's an interesting line for a priest or anybody to take, because he's not really suggesting that he's going to let himself die for no reason. But if all of the medicines that we can bring to fore are not helping and it's making his life more or less useless, shouldn't he take the path that optimizes his life? And that's what he ultimately chose. And that was the night that we were sitting around drinking wine with his two brothers. And he says, why don't we write a little, you know, note to your students to explain about what you're doing and why a miracle is not him getting better, but the miracle is them.
Yeah.
And by the second glass of wine, that had turned into a book project.
In vino veritas, kept developing.
So that's how the book got started, and that's how he faced this diagnosis. And after early on, he became convinced that whatever happens is God's will, and he kept telling everybody, whatever happens, the story will end well.
Yeah. Well, that's a line that really jumped out at me, because he repeats it throughout the book. The story will end well, which for maybe people not viewing it through the lens of faith would be an ironic statement. But I think, you know, he was obviously looking towards the future and the afterlife and being with God. So I guess this book, in a way, is his way of sharing the story of how everyone's story can end well by following a lot of the lessons in this book.
Yeah, and it's meant not to be a Catholic book or even a religious book, he hoped that it would, that this kind of a way of facing this kind of an issue, our ultimate demise, we're all going to die sometime, would be helpful to people of all faiths or even no faith, just like the admission to his school is for anybody.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Who meet the other qualifications.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, in the book, the faith is very normally, naturally integrated into the story. It's not hitting anyone over the head. So the book really can appeal to a broad audience. So I think both he and you did a wonderful job in conveying that.
Well, I had a lot of help. I'm not afraid to tell you because I mentioned this to Jim Martin, who was kind of, you know, guiding me through the process in the background. Father Jim Martin,
sure.
a great writer in his own right, and I tried to get him to do it. after TJ passed away, I took it up to him what we had done. He said, "This is good. You should finish it." Mm-hmm. I said, "Well, Father Martin, you're the writer. Why don't you do it?" And he just said, "Nope, TJ asked you to do it." So get to work.
I think Father Martin is so busy writing so many different things, he didn't have time either. But he was nice. He was nice enough to write the foreword. So he is a presence in the book.
He was. You know, so there was a lot of help in kind of getting TJ's voice done right. His brothers and sister, you know, reviewed the manuscript. One of his brothers, Trey, kept a diary during his illness that had a lot of, you know, vignettes that are in the book that were very helpful to have.
Yeah.
Things
yeah.
they talked about, you know.
Sure.
So it was a group effort,
okay.
as I think it says in the book itself.
I'm Tony Rossi, and you're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'll be back in a minute with more of my conversation with David Warden. But first, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
When Father James Keller founded the Christophers, he chose the organization's name because it means Christ bearers in Greek. He wanted to encourage everyone to discover their God-given talents, combine their faith with action, and change the world for the better. For ideas on how you can be a Christ bearer in your own life, the Christophers have prepared a news note called Being a Christopher. It's filled with quotes and insights from Father Keller himself, who once explained, "The presence of even one Christopher in any environment is a blessing, a channel of grace, and a step in the right direction. It's like a tiny pinpoint of light that is greater than the encircling darkness." To request your free copy of Being a Christopher, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and I'm talking today with David Warden about the book Miracle in Motion, Living a Purposeful Life by Father Antonio Martinez Jr. and by David. It's about the Cristo Rey Jesuit High School in Houston, Texas, which prepares students for college by giving them work and study experience and getting them off to college. So I'm curious, did you have, in the process of writing the book, have the experience to talk to any alumni to find out what their effect is, what their what they took from the school and from Father TJ himself?
Well, I've known some of them from the start. You know, one kid, the valedictorian of the first graduating class, had a full scholarship in computer science to Rice.
Oh wow!
And
right.
and where I also teach. And I got to know him pretty well. I got to know a few of the other kids, and then a few of the kids. We had a, you know, a kind of a little book signing, which I had never done before, but kind of embarrassing, really. at the school, and there were a bunch of kids that had already graduated, were out doing work. And I had came back to the school, bought books, and, you know, wanted them signed to various friends as gifts. And there were even some instances where parents showed up with texts from their kids who were in jobs or in college outside of Houston.
Wow.
And said, "Go buy me a book." Okay, so... So Father TJ was a huge part of their life,
and
as he is, you know, for almost everyone who meets him, I like to say that you know, if you really wanted to put him in a capsule, for me and for so many others, he was equal parts friend, hero and saint.
Yeah. Wow.
And that doesn't mean he was always good. Even, you know, St. Ignatius had a few sins in his back pocket.
Sure.
Before he became a saint. Mm-hmm. And CJ is very open about his mistakes. But
yeah.
That encapsulates, he devoted his life to those kids, to that school, this community, and his church.
Yeah, well, I think his admitting his imperfections probably helped others relate to him, because nobody can relate to a perfect person. So I think he was really making a difference in their lives in that sense, too, and to anybody who reads the book.
Yes, and he had an uncanny ability to be able to relate at any place on the socioeconomic spectrum. He could be in the barrios of Houston and relate to those people and have tacos.
Uh-huh.
And then that night he could be in the most expensive homes in Houston,
mm-hmm.
drinking fine wine and bringing those people closer to God.
Well, that is a unique quality in someone. Did you ever get a sense did it come naturally to him, or is this like a learned ability over the course of his life?
You know, it seemed to those of us who got sort of trapped in his magnetism,
mm-hmm.
thankfully so, after we realized that it happened,
mm-hmm.
that he did it effortlessly.
Right.
It was just almost so nuanced and deft that it seemed effortless. But I'm sure he worked at it. You know,
mm-hmm.
he was human after all. So.
Yeah, sure. Well, I know he says at one point in the book that the students who came to the school, I think they hated the designation, quote, poorest of the poor, because it kind of put them low, and yet he had the ability to build them up. Was that something he would do on a one-to-one level with the students that you were able to see, just to find the good in them and the potential in them and just lift that up?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, he kept track of these kids. There's over 400 kids out there when he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And if one kid was dropping down on his grades or sloughing off at work a little bit,
mm-hmm.
He would find them and straighten them out.
Yeah.
Or at least make a good effort at trying.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
So it was interesting in interviewing his father.
Mm-hmm.
TJ was the oldest of four children.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting in interviewing his father and his mother when he announced after law school that he was going to become a priest,
mm-hmm.
Because they then realized, well, okay, no daughter-in-law, no grandchildren, all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
But then they came to realize that they ended up with 400 or 500 children.
Oh, wow, that is great.
And he brought the family, as he did the community, into direct contact with all his kids at school.
Yeah, yeah. So in all the interviews you conducted, like with his parents, did you get to know him better in a sense?
Oh, yeah. Before TJ, about 2 or 3 weeks before TJ passed away,
mm-hmm.
I got an email from him one night, and he said, looks like you're going to be my first and only convert to the faith.
Oh.
And I'm too tired to work on this anymore.
Mm.
I just can't stay awake.
Yeah.
Here's a list of 20 people I want you to interview, and I want you to get it done. That was it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the 20 people I interviewed, all the way from his parents and teachers and Archbishop Fiorenza, who was a big fan of his,
mm-hmm.
I learned so much more. And Jim Martin, who was a big friend of his as well, yeah. Father Martin.
Sure. Well, how has he changed your life in the long run? How has knowing Father TJ changed your life?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Catholic now.
Yeah. That's a biggie.
And that's a biggie, and that should be enough.
Mm-hmm.
But, he's given me a new perspective on teaching. I teach at Rice. I used to be a trial lawyer, which
mm-hmm.
is why I related to him to start with.
Yeah.
When I thought he was a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
but he changed my life like he did everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we now can see where good needs to be done a little bit better and clearer than we used to,
mm-hmm.
And if it's not on his project, it'll be on other projects.
Sure, sure. Well, everything we do here at the Christophers revolves around this ideal that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. And that really seems to be what Father TJ did in his life and what comes across in this book. So it's just in our final minute or two, just talk a little bit about how you think Father TJ's life has been a light in the darkness and how this book can help readers find that light in their own lives.
Well, I should have gotten this question beforehand so I could think about it. But, you know, it's just I, at the risk of repeating myself, mm-hmm. He lived, what he showed us was by example.
Yeah.
And of course, none of us who work in, you know, and support families and have kids can devote the kind of time to doing the things he did to build people up and help people.
Mm-hmm.
But he implicitly, without saying it, said, well, maybe you could do a little bit more than you're doing.
Mm. Okay.
and so, in that way, he sucked us in, and, you know, he's right. And there's a benefit that one gets out of doing that. It's not just labor.
Mm-hmm.
It does oneself good. So I think between that, there's many, many people around this town and this state and maybe in the United States that have been touched like that by TJ.
Mm-hmm.
And I may be the only conversion to the faith that he had while he was alive,
mm-hmm.
but I suspect that he'll get a few others through reading this book.
Yeah, sounds, it's a perfect answer. You may not have had time to think about it, but it came out perfectly. So thank you for that.
Good.
I'm Tony Rossi.
Thanks, Tony.
You're listening to Christopher Close Up, and I've been talking to David Warden about the book Miracle in Motion, Living a Purposeful Life. He wrote it with his late friend, Father Antonio T.J. Martinez Jr., and it really is a wonderful in book about lessons and insights and stories from the life of this man, Father TJ, and the miracles that he accomplished with his students. You know, sometimes you need people to have faith in you in order that you can rise to the occasion, and that's really what Father TJ did with the students of Cristo Rey in Houston. So I encourage everyone to read Miracle in Motion, Living a Purposeful Life. And David, thanks so much for sharing the story, for sharing your story, and for really honoring Father TJ's legacy with us today and in this book.
Thank you for having me, Tony.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.